Hello listeners, you're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows, we roast them and serve them as in the hot.
Yup.
Yeah.
So welcome today to another episode of the podcast. What did you say his name?
The Barman.
Oh.
Welcome to the bar.
Bye. Sorry, let's start this again. Hi guys. Hi. Welcome to another episode of The Barman. I'm Rabbi Apolsha, and with me is
The Barms.
Actually, it's supposed Barman. To be my word. I'll start and be like with me, but whatever. I hijacked the show, Jesus' name.
Amen.
So today's question. I don't even think I've heard this one before, but okay. Comedians like this one a lot. I used to be offended when they use it when I was young to crack jokes, but this is what it is. Jesus is coming back soon.
Okay.
So I was surprised to see this topic when you said he has already come. I was like, what are you talking about? I have opened the stage. So I leave it to you. Explain. Zubabo's topic says Jesus has already come.
Okay.
He has already come soon.
Yeah. So I was like, Jesus didn't lie.
Yeah.
He came soon. Yeah.
So what is this coming we're talking about that is already soon? I'm like, wait, it's not the second coming. It's the first coming. All right. Okay. Right.
And just like, because I think this can be really short.
Yeah, let's make it short.
Yeah, so, the scripture says that if someone says that he's coming soon, or if a prophet prophesies, and it doesn't happen, the prophet lied, and you should not take anything he says seriously.
Yeah.
So if Jesus said he's coming soon, and he didn't come soon, then Jesus lied, then we shouldn't take him seriously.
Okay.
Right, but I'm here to say that Jesus didn't lie. He came soon. But the challenge is, we think coming soon means coming soon.
So what does it mean? Because right. I used to say that maybe the Hebrew word didn't translate the word soon well. Maybe it's one of those things that was lost in the translation process or watered down at some point. Because I can't imagine that Jesus would say he's coming soon. I used to feel that like maybe... they didn't translate it well, or it's a mistake of translation or something. So, okay, what does it mean coming soon? Since you say coming soon is not coming soon, what is coming soon?
Right. Okay, so now let me just provoke my hearers. I hope we have adults here, right? So, let's do it this way. Gay, right? So, if they say someone is a gay person, 50 years ago, gay meant...
happy and excited.
Right. Today, what does gay mean?
Like homosexual. A male homosexual.
Yeah, so you see... gay, all of a sudden, no longer means gay, right? Yeah, because of words change meaning with time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are evolutionary.
Yeah.
Language is evolutionary, rather.
Yeah. So, to find out what coming soon or the coming of the Lord means, mm-hmm. right? So, we need what they call hermeneutics, which is the art of interpretation,
mm-hmm.
right? So, it's the art of interpretation is... basically, you have to go back in time when the word was said.
Yeah.
Right, to investigate what exactly Jesus meant by his coming soon.
Soon, okay.
So what did coming soon mean to Jesus and to the people who were listening to him at the time in which it was said? Right, I'll still do an exercise. So then growing up reading the Bible, we used to say, and he fell on him. Right, or he fell, and then maybe Joab fell on someone, or he fell on his sword. Right, so if you say someone...
yeah, like Saul fell on his...
yeah.
Put it on the ground and fell on it.
Yeah, so he basically died.
Yeah, he killed himself. By his own hand.
So, if Joab fell on someone, is that Joab killed the person?
Yeah.
Right? But today, falling would mean...
a lot of things.
Yeah, like he fell. Like, why should fall mean something else?
You like, get. Banana fall on you. Yeah,
yeah, banana fall on you. You get so... good. Now, this takes us back to coming, the coming of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Right, so the coming. So, when a young man gets married to his beautiful bride,
okay,
at that night, this Lord comes to his wife.
Okay.
I mean, even biblically speaking, we have the story of, I think it was Judah, who met his daughter-in-law, Tamar.
Yeah.
And he was like, what shall I pay you that I may come in unto you?
Okay.
So the coming of Judah to Tamar...
okay.
It's sex. It's not that he's coming to pay her a cursory visit, or he was far away, he's coming back. No, he was coming to have sex. So coming there meant sex.
Yeah.
Right? So coming is not always physical return as we often interpret it to be.
Yeah.
Right? So this takes us to our text. It's Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Discourse.
The what?
The Olivet Discourse, because Jesus spoke to the disciples at the Mount of Olives.
Oh, okay.
So it's often called the Olivet Discourse.
Never heard this before, okay.
Right? So at the Olivet Discourse, so Jesus had been speaking to them. It's a pretty long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got to this point, kind of like the climax, and it was like, you see this temple, not one stone will be left that will not be
unturned.
Yeah. Bring down the temple. Then the disciples now ask the question that is responsible for all the issues. They are like, tell us, Lord, Master, when shall these things be? And when is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, many people argue, so, tell us, when shall these things be? What is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You get. So, what do the disciples mean by asking Jesus when he's coming? Were they referring to his final physical return? I mean, they didn't even know that he would die. They didn't even believe that he would die yet. So they could not have been thinking he was talking about his second coming. He wasn't talking about his second coming. And he wasn't talking about sex either, if that's where you think I'm going to.
No, I thought you were going.
So he was actually talking about, so the coming of the Lord that's used in that chapter is about, are you ready for this? And a lot of, and virtually every pastor knows this, but I don't know why they are just playing, maybe wicked, I don't know.
Ah, God. Yeah, he's harsh.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's painful. You know, like I've had a conversation with a lot of people and they agree with what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
But they'll be like, there is a double meaning.
Double entendre in the Bible. Okay.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if there's a double meaning, why have you not told me the first meaning in the first place?
At least.
You have replaced.
And it's laid down to me that you owe me,
like, it's your duty to first tell me the first meaning. Right? It's just like for me to totally. There's the story of David and Goliath.
Yeah.
That's a story. Right? Then there is the allegorical reality of that story.
Yeah.
Just that you can tell someone, just as David killed Goliath, you also defeat the giant in your life.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that they are physical giants.
Yeah, doesn't mean that. Yeah, so you shouldn't, again, totally throw away the story of David and Goliath as if your spiritual meaning is like kind of like
inspirational meaning.
Your inspirational meaning. Your basically overrides the simple
original story. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. So now, what did Jesus mean by his coming?
What did Jesus mean by his coming?
Back to the question. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So to help us, we can call other people who were there or who also recorded the same conversation. Mark and Luke.
Okay.
So in Mark chapter 13, the same question, the same conversation, the same discourse, but they simply said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what signs would we use to know that these things will come to pass? Then in Luke, the same thing. Tell us, Luke 24, tell us, when shall these things be? So the coming of the Lord has to be tied to whatever these things might be. And yeah. So what are the distance? Simply put, it's the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That is the coming of the Lord. Has the temple been destroyed? Yes. Has Jesus come? Yes. Right? So the coming of the Lord, as used in that text, was referring to when the temple will be destroyed in Jerusalem. Simple and short.
But then I have one more question. Is that,
yes.
Does it mean that is the only part in the Bible where they use that?
So
coming of the Lord. Like, well, it was not used again in any other place in
okay,
the Bible.
Okay, so yeah, good. Thank God I armed myself with other uses of the same word, right? So now I'm reading Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. And you know, so the thing is, if you read the whole chapter, Matthew 24, it gets to the point where you see that the sun, moon, and stars will not give their light.
Yeah.
Right? And all those,
things,
yeah,
you know?
The creation, end time stuff. Yeah. So a lot of people, they'll be like, yes, up to this point, right? Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. That's the people who know. Then they'll be like, then after this point, he's now talking about his final physical return. So a lot of people explain it like that. So up to a certain point, a lot of theologians agree that Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple. Then beyond a certain point, it was not like he was talking about something else. Yeah. The apocalyptic, coming in the clouds kind of return. Right? So now, this Isaiah 13 verse 9 to 10, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate his sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth with their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light." Right? And then, now this is Isaiah later. He was prophesying the fall of Edom in terms of what they call the creation. It says, "And all the host of heaven will wear away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts will also wither away as a leaf withers from the vine, or as one withers from the fig tree." The point by these stories is, right, is that they are using this prophetic, poetic language of the sky is rolling away and the sun not giving up a light, not to represent actual rolling away of the clouds and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
So, but this is metaphorical speaking of the end of an empire or destruction of a system.
Okay.
So, at that point, Isaiah was prophesying the destruction of Edom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, also, when Jesus was talking about his coming, it was to mark the end of an era.
An era, yeah.
Right, the end of the world.
Mm.
But the end of the world, it wasn't the end of the earth.
Mm.
But it was the end of the world as they knew it. Or the end of that age, that dispensation.
Oh, law.
Yeah, well, you can say the end of the old covenant, as Jonathan Wilton will put it.
Yeah.
So, most of all those collapsing universe terminology used in Matthew 24.
Yeah.
And even in a lot of the, in most of the part of the book of Revelation, it wasn't speaking of let's say metaphorically speaking of realities of their present time.
Oh, okay.
So you must read the Bible contextually.
Yeah.
That's it's called the historical contextual hermeneutic. That's to go back in time to find out what the word meant to the original
users.
Yeah. So the person who was speaking and the person who was hearing, what did they understand by virtue of their communication.
Okay.
Right. So, what Jesus meant by the coming of the Lord. Yeah, it's not about the final physical return, like the angel said that. You see, this is Jesus going; he will come back in like manner. That's not what Jesus was referring to at this point. At this point, Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and most of the use of the coming of Jesus, that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night, for when they shall see peace and safety. Remember that is 1 Thessalonians 5. You can see, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming." Right? This is an Old Testament reference.
Yeah.
So when Paul will use the day of the Lord is coming, his readers understood the day of the Lord to refer to a certain judgment coming on the city or the system. That is the day of the Lord.
Mm.
So the day of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, is not the Lord physically returning, but judgment, or it's going to mark the end of a system. So a prophet, right, having observed what has been going on in Nigeria, right, may have prophetic insight to say that, hey guys, by virtue of your continuous behavior, the day of the Lord is coming to Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's going to be a day of darkness, of the rivers will be overturned with blood.
Yeah.
The sun, moon, and stars will not give their light.
Mm.
You know, so the prophet may use this prophetic literature or imagery to portray how gruesome our collective rebellion and wickedness, right? Just like, you know, a lot of people are like talking about the answers. A lot of people may be like, let war happen, right? If we go down that route, yeah, it's going to act like the day of the Lord, and it's going to end with perhaps lots of bloodshed. Nigeria will just maybe cease to exist. A lot of people will die, but then from the ashes a new world will emerge. So that's what has happened in all of history. Empires that have acted rebelliously and wickedly to people, and sometimes with the blessing of the religious system, they fall. Right? So what was, so in the book of Revelation, that was the same thing. So John was writing to the church. So the Jews had sided with the Romans, right? So so the Jewish religion had taken sides with the pagan Roman religion for their self-preservation, and they were persecuting the church. So the book of Revelation was written to the church to comfort them that their king is coming. And the coming of their king was to mark the end of that their oppression, that the beasts will be cast into the bottomless pit. Now, where is the church today? Now, looking at the book of Revelation in retrospect, where is the church? Where is the Jewish religion? Where is the Roman Empire that oppressed them?
Okay.
Right? So Rome, we only read of it in history books, their power, the Colosseum, and how they...
The old Rome.
It's only read of in history books. Right? The power that the Jewish church, I mean, the persecutors of the church, they are no more. But where is the church? It's still here. So that's how we can say of every empire that acts wickedly and unjustly. Like, so there's a book called Postcards from Babylon.
By Brian Zahn. Hey, I know this one's name.
So Brian Zahn was like, and so he was writing like, so just like the admonition that, what's his name? John wrote to the church, right? And to Rome. Right, so in the book of Revelation. So also he was writing, so he's writing to America. That if America does not act justly, if America spends a lot of money on their wars, you know, how does America treat foreigners? So the continuous injustice. So he was like, there is judgment coming. Right, so the coming of the Lord to America might, metaphorically speaking, will mark the end
of that empire.
And you know, in 50 years' time, in 100 years' time, you may only read of America in history books. So the end of the world will happen to America, but the kingdom of God grows from glory to glory, regardless. So, yeah, so the coming of the Lord, right, as used in most of the New Testament text, was not referring to the final physical return of Jesus Christ, which we believe in, which I believe in. But however, it was referring to judgment that was imminent on those who were living at that time. So when he said two will be in the field, one taking, one left. Indeed, two were in the field, one was taking, one left. And the taking that one was taking was not like he was caught up and he disappeared into the sky. No, it was like Operation Python Dance, when the Nigerian army will check you to see you're a Biafran, you have Biafran colors in you, they'll kill you and they leave this one. Right? So if you read the whole context, right? So the end of the world basically came, or Jesus came.
So how did one disappear, one left behind in their own context?
So in their own, so they were just randomly killing people. They're randomly killing people. So they just like go invade. Like, so if you read Josephus' book, The Jewish War, right? It's also in Jonathan Wilton's book, Raptureless, where he explains the AG 70 destruction, how bloody it was. Right? So how pregnant women, they were, even Jesus said, when Jesus was...
After the death of Christ, they were still killing people like this.
Yeah, of course. Okay, now let me just give the context. So Jesus, after Jesus died,
Is it persecution of early Christians, early church?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, so.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that they were still tearing babies from.
Yeah, yeah, of course. So, like, so let me I'll just end with this. So, there's a story of a certain guy who claims to be the Messiah. You know, Jesus in Matthew 24 said that, you know, false Christ will come.
Yeah.
People who will claim they are something. Like, you should not listen to them. So, one of those false Christs came and he was claiming to be the Messiah. That the Jewish people, as a sign of faith to him, they should burn all their food. That he would miraculously provide for them.
Tell me they didn't do it.
They did.
Why?
And it was so bad, the Roman soldiers had ambushed and surrounded Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So nobody could go in, nobody could come out. There is no food could come in, no food could go out. So it was so, they were so hungry that I think mothers were eating their children.
So what did they do to that guy?
What did they do to him?
I don't understand.
So,
we let you go. How did he end?
He must have died. He must have perished with the city. So it's in the history book, yeah. So it's all there. I think it was John Levi of Giscala, right? So he was
I'm
the one.
I want to look for the story.
So it was when I think it was Jonathan Wilton that says that there's a particular verse that said that until he that letteth will let. So a lot of futurists say that it's when the church is raptured. When the church is no longer there, then the Great Tribulation will happen.
Yeah.
Right? But actually, the Great Tribulation has happened.
Okay.
Right? That's what I've been describing to you contextually. Right? So so the high priest was the one who was talking some sense into these people. But immediately, I think the high priest, that discredited the high priest, I mean, they killed the high priest. Then the high priest was responsible for the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, right? So as long as the Jews were subject to the Roman Empire, there would be no harm will come to them as long as they were loyal. But immediately the high priest or whosoever is in charge to make sure the Pax Romana is in place is killed, then the Romans have no other option, right, than to invade. So that invasion is what led to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and killing of the Jews as prophesied or as declared by Jesus.
Mm.
So Jesus gave them the signs that they were used to know that these things will happen.
Mm.
He said that two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. He gave them different signs, right? And everything manifested as Jesus said it would. That's why he said that, pray that your flight be not in the winter. I mean, we are in Nigeria. Suppose say Ramadan is winter, but it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
So they say, pray that your flight be not in the Sabbath. So is this Saturday or Sunday that is saying that the rapture will be? No, you know. And so he said that let those who are in Jerusalem
climb
flee to the mountains.
And those
okay,
the mountains
so we
that
we are in Lagos now, how does Jerusalem? Where is Jerusalem? So should we be in church or should we go to mountains? So that chapter contextually, right, is not referring to a future, right?
Coming.
It was actually a present reality to those to whom it was written to.
So in other words, Jesus actually came soon.
Jesus came soon when he said he was going to come.
So Jesus did
Jesus,
not lie.
Jesus is not your mate. He did not lie.
He's not our mate.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I enjoyed this.
All right. I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams, @DUBAMS. See you next time. Bye now.